So, Hari Om, everyone. We'll start our Bhagavad Gita class now. So, my name is Sudha Bhatt. If anyone doesn't know me, I'm substituting for Anil Mehta today because he's busy or traveling or something. So, we'll start with Om three times and then Sahana Vavatu opening prayers. So, please sit straight. Even if you are at home, sit in a chair without leaning on the back or couch or anything. Your feet are firmly on the ground. Head, neck and back is in straight line. Shoulders are relaxed. And eyes are gently closed, not squeezing. Maybe a gentle smile on the face. And if you have practiced mental massage before, quickly massage every body part so it relaxes by itself. Take a deep breath in. We will say Om three times. Om. 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 Om Sahana Vavatu, Sahana Bhunaktu, Sahaviryam Karavavahai, Tejasvinavaditamastu mavidvishavahai. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Samasta jana kalyane niratam karunamayam. Namami chinmayam devam. Sadgurum Brahma Vidvaram, Sadgurum Brahma Vidvaram. We'll sit quietly for 1 minute, 60 seconds. Some of you were here for the meditation class. We did the breath awareness or watching the breath parade. So keep still like a statue, except this one is breathing. Thank God it's breathing by itself, because someday when we are too busy, we may forget to breathe and die. Thank you, God, for keeping it in your hands. You're standing on the roadside and a parade is going on. You're watching it. You are the observer. You are the witness. And watching the breath parade. So for 1 minute, 60 seconds, we'll watch our own breath without moving even one little pinky. I am not the breath. It is my breath. I'm the owner. Breath is separate from me. It's just like my car. And my car broke last week. So I'm not broke. I'm sitting here. I'm fully intact. Breath is not me. So keep that in mind and then step away from your breathing. Step away, watch on the side road, on the sidewalk, stand there and watch it. When the cold air enters through your nostril, repeat the sentence, I am breathing in. Every time it leaves the warm air, just say I'm breathing out. Do it for 60 seconds. Let's do it. the most simple but most effective meditation practice that we can initially start with that. After a lot of practice, you can say just in, out, instead of repeating the whole sentence. I'm doing it with little children, adults, and it's working. It calms down the mind, and body and mind are both here for whatever class I'm teaching them. So I make them practice it before we start the class. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. So we'll do Gita Dhyanam. First and last shloka, he said, Om Parthaya Pratibodhita Bhagavata Narayaneta Swayam Vyasena Grathitam Purana Muninam Madhye Mahabharatam Advaitamruta Varshinim Bhagavatim Ashtadashadhyayinim Ambatvam Anusandadami Bhagavad Gita Bhavat Peshinim Yam Brahmavat Petra Rutra Marutaha Stunvanti Divyaistavaihi Vedai Sangha Padakramopanishadaihi Gayanti Yam Samadaha Dhyanavastita Tadgatena Manasa Pashyanti Yam Yogino Yasyantam Navidusurasuragana Devaya Tasmai Namaha Devaya Tasmai Namaha. So Hari Om again. I think Anilji finished up to shloka number 42. He says, am I right? Is it giving an echo? Or in your phone it's giving it? Oh, okay. So today we will try and do 43 to 45. But then before that, we have to go back and visit the 41 and 42 because they are all like continuation of the thought in the 41, 42, and they are connected. So quickly I will cover the... So the next three shlokas, 43 to 45, or four shlokas, talk about swadharma, which is duties prescribed by scriptures, and swabhava, which is mental temperament. So we are familiar with these words because we use them in our vernacular languages also, swadharma and swabhava. But how does Lord Krishna tie it with the three gunas and how to get the... So the ultimate goal is, how do we get moksha? How do we get out of the cycle of birth and death, birth and death? So for that, these are the instruments, tools that will help us to get over the samsara sagar or go beyond the death and birth cycle. So let's go to 41. In shloka number 41, he talks about Brahman, Kshatriya, Shudra, Vaishya, etc. And then Swabhava, Prabhavair, Gunaihi. If you have the book, you can look into that. Which means, of scholars, which is Brahmans, leaders who are Kshatriyas, and traders who are Vaishyas, as also of workers who are Shudras, Parantapa, the duties are distributed according to qualities born of their own nature. So that is swabhava, your own nature. So everyone has our own nature, how we behave, how we make judgment. This morning only I was getting a ride from someone and she was vehemently arguing that I don't go for fundraisers, I don't give on one penny, I don't collect money when people give me 10 tickets for Chinmaya Mission and say, go sell it. I don't believe in it. And I said, I'm so shameless, I will go and ask for money. I will say, it's not my son's wedding. I need it for mission. Mission is doing so much good work. Give me $5, $15, whatever is your... So you have your own swabhav. That gives you how you behave in life. So that swabhava is the mental temperament which is based on the three gunas, sattva, rajas, tamas. We all know that, what it is. Sattva means very pure intellect, very pure heart. And we are always thinking of daivik sampattis, good qualities of life like kindness, helpfulness, all those, you know, daivik sampatti that you have studied. And then, so that is sattva, sattvic personality. Then there is a rajasic, which is go, 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 action, you know. And when we are young, we have to have a job. We have to work. We have to bring up our children, take care of our parents. So yeah, it's going to be go, go, go. So that's rajasic. And tamas is like total darkness, ignorance, brain doesn't work, the intellect doesn't work. We are like lethargic, we are postponing things, you know, procrastinating, whatever. So those are the three gunas that each one has that personality. Personality is affected by three gunas. In which proportion they are in me will decide if I'm sattvic, rajasic or tamasic. So the sattvic person, the Brahmins, Brahmin community, so that's how it was divided into four, not caste. Caste is not the word we should ever use. In Sanskrit or in Indian languages, it is Varna. Now, the Portuguese and those foreigners came to India many years back, hundreds of years back, and they were looking for a word for Varna. They did not know what is Varnashram, what is Varna. So they translated it as caste. Caste is not the system in Indian system. It is called Varna. The Varna Vibhag means the whole human race in any country, not just in India, not just in America, anywhere, any human being falls in these four categories. Either their personality is Brahminic, means they act like Brahmins, they act like Kshatriyas, they act like Vaishyas, they act like Shudras. So which one of these am I? I can study it myself with this help of Bhagavad Gita and decide if I'm sattvic, rajasic, tamasic. The goal is to rise from tamas to rajas as best as you can, and then finally rajas to sattva. And the last stage is no triguna, trigunatmika bhava. That's what Lord Krishna tells Arjun, that go beyond the three gunas, right? Nistrigunya bhava Arjuna. Become a gunatit, no gunas. That's who God is. So we are trying to achieve godhood, means even sattvic will not help. At that point, we will have to knock off even. So what is a sattvic desire or vasana? I want to do bhiksha for Swamiji's. I want to give donations. I want to build temples, hospitals. Those are all sattvic for the sake of other people, community. But eventually, even that has to go. Whatever God wants me to do, I'm the instrument. He's running through me. This is the machine. He's conducting it. Let him do whatever. I'm the flute in the hands of Krishna. So we have to reach to that stage in order to achieve moksha or salvation or liberation, right? So for that, we have to constantly work on our gunas, analyze it. So Brahmins have 80% sattva, it says, 15% rajas, and 5% tamas. Very little ignorance, darkness, they are clear, no confusion. They are acting out of their sharp intellect and personality is Brahminic. You don't have to be born in that family, believe me. Family is nothing to do with it. What is your inner build? How is your personality? How is your mental temperament? It is all decided by sattva, rajas, tamas, that's all. For Kshatriya, they have to be active, right? They have to go and fight the wars. They are the soldiers, the kings, the ministers, you know, administrators, big, big company owners. So they have to be active. They can't just sit and meditate. And that's what Arjun was. And we are wondering why all of a sudden now Krishna is talking about four varnas, you know, caste. What is the point? He came to ask advice that please give me the advice whether I should fight or whether I should run away to forest and sit down and meditate. So he was confused. And the Lord is saying, look, you are a Kshatriya. You're supposed to fight for the good cause, you know, and then win over the good over evil. And these guys are evil, and we gave them so many warnings, we gave them so many chances to change, and they decided not to change, go and kill them. So that's the Krishna's message. So he's a Kshatriya. He can never run into the forest and sit and meditate. So those who are big company owners, CEOs, they cannot sit and meditate for, you know, 10 hours and then not do any work. They are supposed to be active. So that's what Kshatriyas are. They are the kings, they are the ministers, they are the rulers, they are the soldiers who are fighting. And that's true in any country. The army, whole army is here made up of Kshatriyas. So you do not have to be born. And now Bill Gates is a Kshatriya because he's running the big company and he's producing so many jobs and, you know, all this. So by birth, no. No one, no caste is decided by birth. Caste is even the wrong word. We should say Varna means the group of four people, four groups of people. Where do I fit? If we are a Vaishya, Vaishyas are farmers, businessmen, the people who run the economics of the society. So 5% sattva, 80% rajas, and 15% tamas. So only difference between Kshatriya and Vaishya is Kshatriyas have more sattva than Vaishyas. But rajas is the same. And then Shudra is the people who are laborers, workers. They don't want to use their intellect. They wait for someone to order that do this, don't do this. So when they are waiting for the orders and doing whatever is given an 8-to-5 job, and they don't even finish the last part of the job, they just close the computer and run away. So those kinds of people who don't want to do any creative thinking, they don't want to just use their brain, they are living in ignorance, they are just lazy or whatever. So they fall in the Shudra category. You don't have to be born in that family, because they have 90% of tamas, 5% rajas, 5% sattva. So from this we learn that let's inspect our own personality. Am I more rajas, more sattva, more tamas? Goal is to get rid of tamas. 5% is acceptable. Get rid of rajas and just go be sattva, 99% sattva, whatever we can achieve. So that was the 40 and 41. I wanted to go over it because it will help us to study the next slokas. So who are the Brahmanas? Brahman is the creative thinker, scholar, the teachers, all the professors, all the teachers, they are all Brahmins. Whether they are born in the Shudra community, it doesn't matter, because they are pursuing knowledge. They are after Brahman, they are after liberation, they are doing the study of scriptures. So Brahmins are the, so each one is according to the texture of his inner personality, which is our vasanas. Do we have sattvic, rajasic or tamasic? We can check. Kshatriya is the politicians, the rulers, the leaders, the dynamic persons who make big changes in society. They have passion, they follow their dreams, they do it, achieve it. And for that, they have to be active. So rajas is always very active. Sattva is always very peaceful, quiet. They don't want to argue with people. They don't want to fight. They don't want to create any waves, you know. Vaishya is the commercial employers and the traders. Farmers, they are all Vaishyas. They keep running the economy of the nation. And Shudra is the laborer or the worker who is... so dull in the sense that they don't want to use their intellect. So this classification is true for any country, any time, anywhere. Every human being will fall in one of these four only, based on their mental temperament. Mental temperament is created because of the gunas, trigunas. And then the one who is, let's say, if there is a Vaishya, he can never have a Brahmanic tendency. He can never sit and study and teach, because no matter where he goes or she goes, they turn it into a business. So in India, we have we say, Baniya hai, you know, his thinking is like a, so even if they're on Chinmaya mission, instead of thinking well of the people, they will just go ahead and, you know, fill their pocket or try to save money here and there, penny. try to get more and more greediness, all that comes with vicious personality. So anyone who wants to run a organization like Chinmaya Mission Temple, they have to be like completely giving and serving people and don't think of my personal gain, you know. We have a town called Ahmedabad in India, and anyone we call, oh, he's Ahmedabadi, means he's always asking, when you say, can you move these chairs for us? He says, what is in it for me? What am I gaining out of it? You know, I will only do it if I'm getting something. So they are always self-centered, but the Brahmins is supposed to be giving and selfless. So the question is, why is Krishna talking about four classes of people and all that right now at the end of Bhagavad Gita? The answer is, he's trying to make Arjuna understand that his personality or inner equipment is such that he can only be classified as a Kshatriya. He cannot go and meditate. He cannot go and run a business. And I have always believed all my life that Brahmins can never be good businessmen, because then you have to think of selfishness and hiring people and firing. And I can never fire anyone. Even if my business goes down the drain, I'll let it go. So I can never be a business person. I cannot open my own business and hope it will be successful. So being a Kshatriya, it is Arjuna's duty to go and fight and protect the nation, protect the weak people, protect the pious people who are suffering because of the Duryodhana and Kauravas. So he can never retire. Arjun can never retire. But why do we have to follow our Swadharma? Why? So Swadharma means duties prescribed by scriptures. So there is a description, and that's what we are going to study today. What is Brahmin's duty? What is Kshatriya's duty? What is Shudra and Vaishya's duty? That's what the slokas are all about. So why do we have to know our duties? How will that help in my salvation, my moksha? Angie, can you think of something? Why? Hansaben?
I think we are forced to do the way our nature is. I don't think anything to the liberation there. We can only change if we really within ourselves think that I'm being very tamasic, but we can change our personalities. For liberation to, I guess you can say, if you're tamasic, from tamasic, you should become rajasic.
Yes.
From rajasic, you become sattvic.
Sattvic.
So if you have more sattvic qualities, which you can develop, if you understand, then that might lead to easy liberation.
That, yeah, so from sattvic, the last stage is you jump into liberation because you drop sattvic also. I recently read a story of a Buddhist monk, and so he got lost in the forest or something happened and he just couldn't find his way. So there is I have shared it with my WhatsApp group also. So this one man who lives in forest, knows in and out of the forest, says, okay, I'll help you to cross the forest. I'll take you to the edge of the town. So they both walk happily, and now they are at the end of the forest. And the guy who was lost, the bhikshu, he kept walking, and the guy turned away. He said, I'm limited to this forest only. I have to be in the forest. If I go out, I will die. So that is your sattva. After you have knocked out the rajas and tamas and rajas, you have become pure sattvic, let's say 99% sattva. And I have seen such people in my own life. They are full of sattva. You have all seen them. So they don't have a clue how the world works. You know, they are just so innocent, like child. They are just so full of God's thoughts and serving and selfless. So they cannot achieve moksha until they knock off even sattvic and start believing that I am God's instrument. This body is not me. Mind is not me. Intellect is given to me to serve the community or whatever, exhaust my vasanas, whatever is the reason why I have this body and this form and figure. So I must make the best of it, from tamas to rajas to sattva, and even let go of that too. I don't exist. I doesn't exist. Me or mine doesn't exist. I am just like a plant, a tree, a flower. I appeared on this earth and I will disappear. So Vimalji, who used to come here to give lectures, one day he gave a very good example. He says, we are like the the spikes on the heart machine, you know, in the hospital, you look at that machine and spikes keep coming and going. So he said, we are all like those spikes. And when we go away and then we appear again as the next spike, you know. So we are just part of the universe, part of this creation. And we are here to exhaust our vasanas and all our punya karma, pap karma phalas. And we have to act as the instruments of the Lord. Instead of, I know I'm the smartest, I'm the most beautiful, I have the maximum money in the account. Yeah, who gave you the money? If someone donates $1 million, tell me who gave you that $1 million so you can donate. He didn't give it to me, so I'm not donating, as simple as that. So you are used as an instrument. There has to be a human body to win the lottery or to donate or do whatever we need to do. And if any of you don't agree, raise your hand. Yeah, feel free to counter argue. But this is my understanding, that at that stage, beyond Sattvic, you don't exist as this person with this name and figure. I'm just an instrument, just as good an object as this table. Table is used to put things on it. I'm used to do work for the society, donate. So money comes, money goes. It's like that. So this... Arjun has no choice. He's a Kshatriya. He better go and fight and kill all the bad people. So this is a spiritual sadhana for everyone to find out what is my swabhav, what is my personality. And no one is sattvic all day. In the morning, we are all sattvic. Then as day goes, she has to run and pick up her grandchildren and feed them and, you know, take care of the family. So we have to do all of that. You have to go to work. And Amit has to come and do his, you know, work for the Chinmaya mission. So like that, we are all active. And then tamas comes when we get tired. We sit in front of the TV. We don't even know when we doze off. And that little bit of confusion comes in the brain also. So we are all combination. At some point, I may be fully sattvic. At other point, I'm totally tamasic. But majority of the time, who am I? Where am I? So that will help, okay? So the spiritual sadhana is to figure out what is my temperament. If I'm tamasic, then we have to work on it. Becomes, as Hansaben said, we become rajasic. And from that, we do find sattva a little bit and then more and more. And that's why we have to understand and study it. This is how we exhaust our vasana. So swadharma is the one that will help us to exhaust all our vasanas. There'll be no more vasana bundle, no more jar full of vasana results and karma phalas. So no more birth and death. Okay. So this is a sadhana. It is a means. Swadharma is the means given to us to achieve our own liberation on our own effort. Okay. And all the vasanas will get extinct. Now I'm not me. So I'm doing Gurudev's work, right, for day and night. That's all I do. I pray to him that keep me healthy so I can do your work. And that's it. So if I have that attitude, then where is karma phala coming? He's acting through me. It's his problem. If I did something wrong, it's not like I will not be punished, but it doesn't affect as badly as it would have otherwise. So swadharma and swabhav is very important to understand and remember. Now, what are the different type of duties? Let's see that. So the Shastras have spelled it out. Brahmins should behave, and that's what it is in this next sloka. The Brahmins have to have... So the Shudra, for example, his duties will help him if he acts like a good father and a good worker, you know, in a company, in a big multi-million dollar company. Then that is his sadhana to achieve salvation. So work to the maximum of your ability, surrender and work, and you can go beyond even sattva. And once you have recognized that person is sattvic, he's classified as Brahmin, as simple as that. There is no caste system. So then how did we come to believe in caste system and Dalits and all that? So it's all man-made. The Brahmins who were at the top wanted that, just like Pope in Vatican, you know, nothing can be done without his permission like that. They wanted to be the rulers of the society. They were at the top. This is like Middle Ages when there was no control of the government or anything. They were in charge and they made all the rules and regulations, and they discriminated between Brahmins and Shudras and Dalits and all that. But reality is, everyone falls in these four categories. I can be in the Shudra category and I can just still get my salvation. Okay? So no one is higher, no one is lower. Every society needs these four categories, otherwise society will not function, the nation will not progress, etc. So each class has a definite function in the society. Therefore, each type cannot be expected to behave like the other. Brahmins will behave their way, Kshatriyas will behave their way. And secondly, so his preferences and his field in which he excels are totally different. The teachers are only good at teaching and studying. What does the swabhav mean? Or what do you think would be the swabhav of a Brahmin? Vinayji, what would Brahmin act like?
He's pure in his action. He's giving.
Studies all the time, more and more knowledge. So we are all Brahmins right now. We are sitting here and trying to gain knowledge. So every one of us is a Brahmin. And then we teach also. We go to study groups and discuss and all that. But Brahmin cannot be a good businessman. Kshatriya cannot be a Brahmin and go and meditate, because his body is so restless. He has to do, he's dynamic. He has to do things. So though all those CEOs and all of them, they are using their brain and acting like Brahmins, but most of the times they have to be Kshatriyas also. So let's look at the qualities of the Brahmin, and that is given in shloka number 42. Let's go to 42 and we'll chant it, lead and follow. If you don't want to chant it, just listen. Shamo dama tapa shaucham. Kshantirarjavamevacha. So it is Ksha, K-S-H-A, not Shanti, Kshanti, right? K-S-H-A, Kshanti is a different word. We look at the meaning. Let's try it one more time. Kshanti Rarjavamevacha. Jnanam Vijnanam Astikyam. Brahma karma swabhavajam.
Brahma karma swabhavajam.
We chant it together. 1, 2, 3. Shamo dama tapah shaucham. Kshantirarjavamevacha. Jnanam vijnanam astikyam. Brahma karma swabhavajam. So 6 qualifications of Brahmin. Shama, Dama, Tapaha, Shaucham, Kshanti and Arjavam. And we'll see the meanings. Shama is serenity, control over the mind. Dama is restraint over your sense organs. Tapa is austerity, Shaucham is purity, not just outside clean house, inside also. And then Kshanti is like you forbearance, you forgive and you just deal with things in that way. And then Arjavam is the uprightness, or you are just so like transparent. What you think is what you say is what you do. People never have to doubt, you know, oh my God, he's saying this, but how is he going to behave or she is going to behave? So when you are so full of sincerity and you are at that stage, sattva, you will behave like a transparent person. Your speech, your action and your intentions are all the same, clear. So, and in the second line, then he gives 3 other qualifications that the Brahmin should develop. One is Jnanam, next one is Vijnanam, and third one is Astikyam. So Jnanam is the knowledge. Vijnanam is realization or wisdom, we call it. And then Astikyam is the doing the belief in the God and the duties that are prescribed in the scriptures. So we'll look at the meanings a little bit in more detail. So there are six qualifications of Brahmin, and then there are three tendencies or sacred duties, it is said here. These are his sacred duties to create Jnanam, Vijnanam, and Astikyam. So Jnanam means knowledge, Vijnanam is wisdom. So I have the knowledge that being truthful is really good, beneficial, but I don't practice. So far it is still Jnanam. Once I start practicing, I believe that truth is the ultimate reality. I will die before I die. Whatever is my understanding of truth, that is called Vijnanam. That is wisdom. That is something is you have digested it so well, it has become your DNA. That is the Vijnanam. And then Astikyam is he has faith in what is told in the scriptures. Whatever studies we do, like Bhagavad Gita, they don't question, I don't know, I don't believe in Krishna. I don't think he was a god. He was just a man. There's one physician in, Vaisalya. We had gone for a study group and there were six physicians. They wanted to start study group there. So myself and my husband, we went. And the very first day he says, I don't believe in Krishna. I don't think there was anything God, you know, but I want to study Bhagavad Gita. Ashokji said, we are not coming here. First, you have to believe that Krishna was God and he has said it and is going to benefit my life. Then only we should waste our time in study. So that is what Astikyam means. Astikyam means this person has faith. So Brahmins have faith in what he has studied or in scriptures. They have faith in what he lives in, what he has understood. They are so firm in their belief, their intellectual honesty. They are not saying something, believing something, acting something else. And they have courage as a result of scriptural studies. They are very consistent in their faith. They will be very firm, like Gandhi or Modi, you know, for example. Anyone who is following the society's rules and practicing them to the last point. So they have Astikyam. So yes, there are so the six qualifications and three duties of Brahmin. Is that clear? Any question on that? Shama, Dama, Tapa, Shaucham, Kshanti, Arjavam. Those are their qualifications. They must have it to be called a Brahmin. And then three goals, three sacred duties. So Arjavam is straightforwardness in all dealings, uprightness in the dealings with people, no compromise. He's fearless. He's honest. He doesn't expect anything from anyone and therefore he's fearless. He doesn't think, oh, Angie will get hurt if I spoke the truth. He just goes and speaks the truth, he or she. So they are so firm in their understanding of the scriptures. They believe in the scriptures. They know they have duties and that they are very steadfast with that. Shaucham is purity. No ill will towards anyone. They can forgive easily. They don't hate anyone. So that is the Brahmin. Tapa is austerity, fasting, danam, going to pilgrimages, feeding the hungry, taking care of swamijis, building temples, whatever you can do, that's danam. And then austerity and shanti is forbearance. So anyone will come and insult me. And that's what Buddha was teaching to his bhikkhus, right? Whenever they said, oh, didn't you feel hurt? He was insulting you. They were asking Buddha. And Buddha says, show me, where did I get hurt? My body is still intact. Nobody hurt me. So like that, that clear understanding comes to the Brahmin personality that people can, they are free to say whatever they want to say about me. I give it a little thought. If it's they're right, then I change. If they are wrong and I'm right, then I continue doing it. It doesn't matter what people say. So they are very forgiving. They have no hatred. They're very patient. And forbearance means that. So we know Shama is control of mind, Dama is control of senses, self-restraint, Tapa is austerity, Shaucham is purity or clarity, cleanliness of the mind and heart. Antahkaran should be, or your inner personality should be very pure. And Shanti is forbearance. So you forgive people, no hatred, you just let it go. Very easily you let it go. You don't feel hurt. You don't go and argue with people. Don't try to prove I'm right and you are wrong. So that reminds me of a joke. I know Anilji tells a lot of jokes. So I feel like I should tell one at least. So here is the joke. So there was a donkey and a tiger, and they were arguing for 2-3 hours. The donkey is saying, grass is blue, grass is blue. And the tiger is saying, what blue? This looks green and it is green. For 3 hours they argued, and they were ready to hit each other and beat up. And then they said, let's go to the lion. He's the king. So they went to the lion. And now they're saying, please give us the judgment. You know, he's saying it's blue and I'm saying it's green. What do you think? So very calmly he says, grass is blue. And he let the donkey go. And donkey is so happy. He's dancing and singing, grass is blue, grass is blue. He went away. The tiger was punished for 2 days. No food for you. He's so sad, upset. So why did you, he was wrong, you know, he was wrong. Grass is green. Why did you not punish him and punished me? He says, I'm punishing you. We all know grass is green. You know, I know. But I'm punishing you because you are arguing with an idiot, you know. Never argue with stupid people. Just run away from them. So that's the message. So whenever someone comes to me and asks for some advice on something and they have been dealing with stupid idiots, I say, walk away. Don't argue with stupid people. They will never understand. You will always believe grass is blue. Let them believe it. So in scriptures also, it says that in the sabha, in the assembly of idiots, pandit people, they keep quiet. They don't even argue. They don't open their mouth at all, because no matter what you say, and this happens in our families, you know, kids, husbands, a wife, everyone. The minute you say something, they contradict you and they say something opposite and they say, I'm right, you are wrong. So all that argument goes on and bitterness and hatred comes. So the scriptures tell very clearly that do not speak in the assembly of idiots and stupids. So that was my joke for the day. I hope you liked it. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I practice it. I just never argue with anyone, please. Okay. So in the sloka number 23, now what are the duties of kshatriyas? Let me see what time. Yeah, I still have time. Okay. If you have any questions, we are going to have 10 minutes per question and answer at the end. So kshatriyas is sloka number 43. Let's go to 43. And if you have already done it before, it was a good revision, okay? And I know for sure 43. And then in this book, there is a very nice analysis by Gurudev. So this is the Bhagavad Gita. So make sure whatever slokas we cover, either go home and watch some video, like Guruji has given lectures on all the 18 chapters of Bhagavad Gita, Sarva Priyanandaji. Ishwarananji has ongoing Bhagavad Gita lectures on CMLA, Los Angeles YouTube channel. So try to enhance your knowledge, more arguments, more logic, because different people use different logic depending on their mananam. Like Ishwarananji's mananam is very high. He does his own, you know, creative thinking, and he brings such examples. I'm so impressed by his mananam. He's one of the best when it comes to mananam. So we learn so much more from them because they bring such examples, their own personal examples created by themselves. So that's what Shravanam Mananam Nididhyasanam is. So we did Shravanam of 3 shlokas for today. Go do Mananam on it. Try to reflect on it. What did we study today? What are Brahmin's qualities? Then if you forget, then go read here. There is real good explanation, or any Bhagavad Gita. Like there are 100, 200 people have written Bhagavad Gita. So any commentary you can read. Let's chant shloka number 43. Shauryam Tejo Drutir Daksham.
Shauryam Tejo Drutir Daksham.
Buddhe Chapya Palayanam. Yudhe.
Yudhe Chapya
Palayanam.
Yudhe Chapya Palayanam.
Dhanamishwar
Bhavascha. Dhanamishwar
Kshatram karma swabhavajam. Together. Shauryam tejo drutir daksham. Yudde chapya palayanam. Dhanamishwara bhavascha. Kshatram karma swabhavajam. So what does the kshatriya has? How do we recognize a kshatriya? Shauryam, prowess, he's very fearless and very brave. Teja means he has a lot of aura, splendor. So the kings are like that, right? Kings are kshatriyas, or all the rulers of the country, you know, if they are sattvic people like Brahmins, then not the Russia person, he's not the Brahmin. I'm sorry, but he's not. Dhruti is firmness, means forbearance against him. Dakshyam is dexterity in work, means your proficiency in the work, not just the efficiency, proficiency and efficiency both. And yuddhe chapya apalayanam, yuddhe cha api apalayanam, means he doesn't run away from the war field, battlefield. He stands there and fights, even if he has to die, he or she. And then danam, they are very generous, they donate a lot. And because he's the king, right? The kings are supposed to donate. They are supposed to know the needs of the people in his kingdom. So he gives a lot of money to, let's say, homeless shelter. We have to, as a king, we have to take care of every single person in the kingdom. So they are very good at donating generosity. And Ishwar Bhavaha, they have the lordliness. They act like the lords. They are full of power, and they know their powers, and they act like royal and lordly. These are the qualifications of kshatriyas. Kshatram karma swabhavajam. Their actions are born of that type of nature. Okay. So let's look at the meanings in a little more detail. But this helps us, right? When we know someone, we meet someone who has this kind of personality, we can immediately say they are kshatriyas, you know, like that. So let's see. Shauryam is prowess, or lot of bravery. Teja is splendor. They have a lot of this aura. Truti is firmness. They don't shake up in little obstacles. You know, we are complaining about little pinpricks of life, you know. Oh, my car broke, little this and little that. They don't care. Car breaks, go out and buy a new car, or arrange for rides, or take a Uber, or whatever is out there, you know. Daksham is dexterity, means you do your work with a lot of confidence and a lot of skills. You are like very high skill level. Yuddha chapya palayanam is not fleeting away from the battlefield, never. A kshatriya is not supposed to show his back to his enemy. We all know that, right? They would rather commit suicide and die before the enemy comes and captures them, but they don't ever go home defeated or as a bandi, you know, like captured, never. They're supposed to sacrifice their life and go for it, just go for it. Danam is generosity, and I explained you why. He's the king, or he's the president, or he's whatever. He has to take care of everyone. Generosity. And then Ishwar Bhav is lordliness. So these qualities manifest a great deal of Rajogun. These are the 80% Rajas in Kshatriya. And these are qualifications of the, because dexterity, right? So Brahmin is going to sit and meditate. Where is he going to prove his skills? Nothing. Brahmin is going to just read and study and teach. Where is he going to show his lordliness? Or where is he going to get money to donate? So those are not Brahmins or Vaishya or Shudras. It's only Kshatriyas. And they are like, those qualifications will tell us what. And then Rajogun is resonant. So they have this power, they have a drive for getting, achieving something, and then they go for it and they go get it, you know. they're even ready to face the adversity, any kind of hardships. They don't mind. The company falls, you know, goes down the drain. They just start new company. So it's like that kind of personality who will never get defeated by anyone. No one can stop them from doing. They love to be staying in power. So all the politicians are Kshatriyas. By hook or crook, they want to be in that chair, you know, the Congress and whoever. Even the other party, I mean, no one is bad from the power hunger. And he's not a quitter. He will never give away, whether it's a company, it's a project, it's a family matter. They will just fight it to the tooth and nail to the last and make it happen. They face adversity with courage, with grit, and with prudence. So very smart people. And then he faces life's challenges without succeeding, without succumbing to the fears and doubts. So that's who Kshatriyas are. Let's go to number 44. Now we still have time to finish the next two shlokas. And then 10 minutes, we will do question and answer. So 44. Okay, lead and follow again. So in this one shloka, in very short, he is giving what is the Vaishya. And Shudra, he is just giving one qualification, that's all. But for Brahmin and Kshatriya, he was describing 6 plus 3, 9. Here, nothing. So one shloka takes care of both of them, Vaishya and Shudra. Krushi Gauraksya Vanijyam. Vaishya Karma Swabhavajam. Paricharyatmakam Karma. Shudrasyapi Swabhavajam. Together. Krushi Gauraksya Vanijyam Vaishya Karma Swabhavajam Paricharyatmakam Karma Shudrasyapi Swabhavajam. So both the lines are using the word Swabhava. The sooner we learn the real meaning of it, the better off we are. Swabhava means mental temperament. So the temperament of Vaishya is Krushi, means he is doing the agricultural work. Gauraksha means cattle rearing. So they have all these dairy farms. They are rearing the cattle or selling it for the beef or whatever they are doing. And Vanijyam is business. They are running the whole business of the whole country. That's it. Three qualifications for the Vaishya. But we know that he has also less sattva than Kshatriya and Brahmin. Only 5% sattva, 80% rajas, and 15% tamas. That's the difference between Kshatriya and Vaishya. They both have rajas, but tamas is more in Vaishyas. And then Shudra, only one qualification. What do? They serve. They do the seva. Paricharyatmaka means consisting of service to all. So anyone who works in Burger King or McDonald's flipping burgers, they are all Shudras. They work from, so not Shudras in any bad meaning, no negative derogatory contact there, no such reference. They are doing the mindless work. They are doing whatever is told to them. So they go report to the manager. Manager says, cut the lettuce, put the cheese in here, do this, turn the oven on. Whatever they are supposed to do, they don't decide. Someone else orders them around, they do it. So that is the swabhava or mental temperament of the Shudra. So can the Rajasic person go to the forest and start meditating? Deepika? Can he?
It would be hard for him because he has a lot of rajas.
Rajas, exactly. He has 80% rajas. He's go, go, go. He wants to use his brain. He wants to use his emotions. He wants to use his hands, feet, all his talents. He wants to produce something, make something. So he cannot be qualified as a Brahmanic, he has to go through the Kshatriya, his personality or Vaishya. So no one is higher or lower. We are all falling in one of the four, not by birth. It's never decided by birth. It was the Brahmins and those people in charge of the society. They wanted their power and authority. So they introduced all this that, oh, this is the lowest caste. They clean the bathrooms so there. So I was reading in Japan, I was watching a video. In Japan, the biggest CEOs, they believe in cleaning their toilet every day. They pour the cleaner. Honestly, the biggest CEOs, like Honda CEO, they say that that's why they are CEOs. So there's nothing, I feel like I should do it every day to get somewhere if I want to achieve that. Yes, there's a video out there on YouTube. So they do it. It's like my duty to have clean, you know, toilet. And they don't let it wait for 2 days or 3 days. Like I do it once in a week. Every day they clean the toilet from inside, outside. The video shows they're scrubbing outside floor, spick and span toilets. And that's the secret of their success as CEOs. So there is no such thing. So he's not Shudra at that point. He's still Vaishya or Kshatriya. But he sees the value of it. So we should see the value of labor, hard work, cleanliness, taking care of our body if we don't shower for 2-3 days. We are Shudras. Cleanliness is the thing that makes us Brahmin or Kshatriya or Vaishya. So there is no, the classes are there, the divisions are there, but they are parallel. There is no higher, no middle, no lower, nothing. So let's take out that from our mind. Lord Krishna says he has created Chaturvarna and so they are there for a reason. So the society can run smoothly without people complaining. Well, he didn't do his job. The toilets were never clean. Gee, go and clean your own toilet. Do it every day if you want to be the CEO. So I think we don't need to discuss it much, right? We know what Krushi, what agricultural they do. We know what the business people do. We know what the dairy owners or in those days, those were the categories. So he's using those examples. Now it will be Microsoft. Now we will give, if Bhagavad Gita was written today, then he will give the examples of Microsoft and Apple and all that, right? So with that, I don't know if I should go in 45. Let's just stop there. I will tell Anilji to carry on with 45 onwards. 45 is very interesting. It says that devoted each of his own duty, man attains perfection. So that's the means of finding your liberation. Whatever you figure out, I'm Kshatriya, then do your duty with full heart, without any hesitation. Just, you know what the qualifications are, follow them. Eventually work on the Triguna and from Tamas, let's try. And so 90% Tamas is no good. We are nowhere near the salvation. So let's move ourselves to at least 50% Rajas, you know, slowly and steadily. Then maybe 15% of Sattva, something has to keep moving upwards and eventually get rid of all the three gunas. And that's what moksha is all about. So I'm going to conclude here, and next 10 minutes we can ask questions. Or if you need any more clarification, we can. But I already told you why Lord Krishna has brought in the Varna and all that suddenly in Bhagavad Gita, because Arjuna was trying to run away from his Kshatriya Dharma. His duties, his Swadharma was to fight and protect the country and be the ruler, be the good ruler. And he you have seen it, right? In the first and second chapter, he says, but why can't I go to the forest and start meditating? He's telling Krishna, this is useless. Even if I win the kingdom, I will not enjoy it. I'll be unhappy because I killed my guru. I killed my my teacher, you know, my cousins, my uncles. I'm not doing it. Let me go to the forest and meditate. And Lord Krishna says, nope, your duty is to fight. And it takes 18 chapters to explain that to him. Fortunately for us, it goes faster because now we already know what Krishna was trying to say. We do our study groups, we do our... So I encourage everyone to go to there are more study groups besides this. This is considered not a study group. It's almost like a lecture because someone explains and you listen. So study group is where we sit, five or six of us. We meet and we have a lot of them. Niruji is running five or six of them. So make a point to join those once in a week. Sharad has a beginner, so you can join that. We start with Kindle Life, then Self-Unfoldment, then a Tattva Bodh, Atma Bodh. So there is a seven-year course that Gurudev and Guruji have prescribed, and the textbooks are already assigned, and you don't have to go personally. It's all available on Zoom. So there's some on Tuesday night, Wednesday night, right? Ansa, what are the study group hours?
Tuesday afternoon, I think that's
Tuesday. Devi group, right?
Devi group. That's
but they study some text.
No, 11:30 to 1:00.
Yeah.
Thursday they have in the evening.
Mm-hmm. 8 to 9. And that is a Sharad?
Yeah, that is Sharad. And that's it's just started last year, right?
Yeah. So it's very beginner. We have to understand the ABC. So Bhagavad Gita is like a PhD textbook. So right now we are doing PhD.
If you go to firsthour.info,
yeah,
at the very top, you'll see a link for the weekly schedule. If you click on that,
okay, so it's there.
All the study groups and their time.
Yeah.
Are they all on Zoom still?
Most of them are on Zoom. Yeah. All of them, actually. Yeah. And study, that kind of discussion is a must. So what we do, Ansa is Sarod Bindar in my group. Wednesday morning, we meet from 10 to 11. No more Zoom, it's in person. But we have started with Kindle Life and we assign one chapter for that week. So next week, everyone has read that chapter. We take notes and we go over every word of that portion or that. And it has made so much of clarity, right? And Sarvan, we are all like on top of Vedanta. We know everything so clearly. None of this confuses us. You are. I know you are because I am in that group.
Makes you think.
Yes, independently.
It's one-way traffic. It's
yes.
So it makes everybody think about what they think.
Okay. Yes, and they are available here in Bakersfield. So why would you not take advantage? So if you are serious about Vedanta, I would say go to the bottom of it. Learn the technology, terminology. Because if I want to study chemistry and I don't know any terminology of chemistry, how am I going to get to PhD level? So let me start at kindergarten level. ABC of Vedanta is there. Let's do that. If you're sincere, please, I encourage everyone to go. Bhagavad Gita is good, but I have heard so many people, they say, I only want to study Bhagavad Gita. And I'm saying that's a PhD level book. You are in kindergarten. Go do your basics and then go back to Bhagavad Gita slowly. So, we don't cover books like, we have to finish Bhagavad Gita chapter 10. We take our time. We go on for weeks, you know, but until everyone is clear. So every member of the study group has to be clear on the same page before we move to the next concept. And everyone is so much of clarity is there. And in turn, you translate it into your daily life. They're all happier people. I know it as a fact. They're all practicing Vedanta. And life is fun, go, go, go. Nothing is bothering us. We are like bouncing with energy and enthusiasm. So yes, that Gurudev scheme. Study group is Gurudev scheme. So attend the lecture and then go discuss it. So please go to that link and find the weekly classes. Join if you can. If you can't, then it's okay, no force. But take your time and please be sincere about studying the basics. And the real fundamental terminology, like Maya. If I say Maya, all the eight of us are thinking of different thing. But Maya is Maya, Trigunatmika Maya. The one that is creating Trigunas is Maya. So there is a Sanskrit definition in Tattva Bodh and Atma Bodh, and we have to memorize it. And we have to know exactly what Maya means. We have to know what Paramatma means. We have to know what Brahman means. No vague areas in Vedanta. You have to know ABCD of Vedanta and then build your building. And it's so much of fun. Vedanta is the best in my mind if you want to live happily. Problems will be the same. problems are not going to run away. But the way you face, naturally, automatically, you are bouncing back, you know, within no time. It really helps. But anyway, any questions?
I had a comment. You know, when you divide into four varnas, and you want to rise from tamas to sattva. So say you are doing a labor work or cleaning work. So you are considered shudra. But you don't have to change your work to become
exactly.
That. You still can improve the sattva in you and do the same work. And you can still bring the liberation that come in from the work.
Yep.
In other words, the attitude, how you do the work is important than what appears to be.
So Hansaben is saying for the people on the Zoom, she's saying that if you are a shudra, and you do your duties with sincerity and with that kind of attitude, you don't have to change your profession and go start studying and teaching. You can remain as a laborer, as a shudra, or flipping burgers in the McDonald's. Nothing is wrong with that. Any means will take you to the goal, as long as you take it as a sadhana.
And that sattvic quality should be more in there.
And increase the sattva over rajas and tamas.
And
yes.
Continue the work that you're doing, but
exactly.
Improve the qualities of thinking.
You can be a housewife and get liberation.
There's a Gujarati Swami, I forget his name. He was wandering at the time, was looking for a person to be realized or whatever. So he found some guru in some Banaras, and he was serving him. He learned the Sanskrit and Vedas from him. And ultimately, he was about to die. At that time, he says, if you really want to see a realized man, go meet that potterer who's been pot some every day. So there was a simple potterer who did pots and sold potter that pots. And that's how he made his living for himself. But he's more realized than even the teaching.
And Janak, King Janak was a king, Kshatriya. But he was Janak Vidya. He had no awareness of his body. He was totally realized.
But you know what? It is easier to see higher people being good.
Yes.
But when a person is being very lower, that doesn't mean that they are lower by mental.
No, that's why they are parallel. They are not higher or lower.
But so in other words, even though it's a 90% tamasic, they could rise in the same field.
Of course. I'm seriously considering cleaning my toilet every day. I'm done, you know. I'll clean my and then see what happens. Maybe my spiritual progress will go faster. Every day I'll go and clean the toilet and then shower. So that's it. There you go. So they are four parallel. Angie, you have to add something?
Not really. You know, when I came here the first time, I came when I was 19, 20 years old, and I was very involved in a Vedanta center in New York.
Yes.
And Swami Prabhavananda, that time was there, and he asked me one day, Angie, when you go for lecture, listen to him or her. He should not have any question or anything. Don't ask any question. When you go home, think about it.
You'll find the answer.
Maybe it can come. That's why I try. Even if asked me something, I did not answer. I have little thing. I did not. I thought, I'm going to listen to you. And when I go home, I'll think about it.
Yeah, so Angie is saying that, and Gurudev did that to Swami Tejumayananda when he joined as a brahmachari. There were two conditions. Actually, Tapovan Maharaj made that to Gurudev first, and then Gurudev made it to Guruji. So we are all follower of the same tradition, so we are not supposed to ask questions. So Tapovan Maharaj said there are two conditions. If you follow them, then only I will teach you. Condition number one, you will never take notes. You know how we take notes and go home and read, or nowadays people recording. Condition number two, you will never ask questions. Go home and find the answer. It's all in the scriptures. So you have to work extra hard as a devotee or as a student of Vedanta. But it's your responsibility. An answer comes. So I agree with you. Angie is saying that some Swamiji told her in Vedanta Society initially that don't ask the question. Even if you have it, go home and study. Dumananam, reflection, and it will come to you. Right?
In hand, that's why I write it down. What did you ask me? And when I go home, I think about it.
Okay.
So that's the way, you know.
So the mananam, you are following.
You ask me questions, things like, I feel like it.
You are not answering because you don't know. Yeah.
That's my, you know, way mind.
No problem. I mean, I should not put you on the spot, no, but I know you, so I was asking you.
I never explained.
Or Deepika or anyone.
Me. I did not answer, but I did not explain.
Yes.
Because it's a short group, I'm telling you what I feel.
No. I agree with you. That's what Tapovan Maharaj did. And look, Swami Chinmayananda, I didn't realize it. I have been with Chinmaya Mission for 45 years. But I didn't realize it until very recently, like 5 years back, that his evolution was so fast. He got this idea that I'm going to expose all the sadhus, they are freeloaders. He went to Shivananji Maharaj to expose the sadhus. And the day he got his sannyas, hardly 2.5 years. It was fully realized, man, in 2.5 years. And I said, here I'm working for 45 years and nothing is happening. So that's what really struck me. Because Tapovan Maharaj was so tough, he said, no notes taking and no questions. Go home and find your own answers. And I haven't followed that discipline. So yeah, it will take me a million more births maybe. But yeah, that's the goal. And so whatever method helps you, but Swadharma and Swabhava are the two key terms from these shlokas of this chapter 18. So please understand those and trigunas and try to analyze it. Don't analyze other people. Don't say my husband is tamasic. Now that doesn't work in Vedanta. Don't even go that way. Just find out who you are and work on it if you want to. Let's conclude. Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhinaha. Sarve santu niramayaha, sarve bhadrani pashyantu, ma kashchit dukha bhag bhavet. Om shanti shanti shantihi. Harihi om shri gurubhyo namaha. Harihi om. Thank you all for joining. Hari Om. Yes.